Episode 312. We haven't done this one in a while. I'm talking way too fast. We bring on a Patreon member, one of the true, the proud, the walk-on army. Our third time bringing on a Patreon subscriber. We got Tim Sheeks on the pod. He is a good dude, a born and bred Hawkeye, and it's a great episode. Sit back, relax, and let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 312 of the podcast. And today in this introduction here, I want to teach you guys about a little bit of something called conception. And there was two gentlemen, one named Sam Yam and the other named Jack Conti. And they conceived this idea called Patreon.com. And because of Patreon.com, we have a Wash Up Walk-Ons Patreon. Because of that, we have people that subscribe monthly to our Patreon and make a generous donation to the Iowa Children's Hospital, as well as join the Army for the fun that we have over there. And today, we have a fine gentleman staring in front of me with the name Sheeks, which I very much appreciate. Voice like a Terminator. Kluver gave me that one pre-podcast. I really pretty much like that one. And without any further ado, welcome to the podcast, Sheeks, and let's have a little fun, pal.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I mean, how do we? He opens his mouth, and it's just like, Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
We caught you on a Tuesday. If it was Tuesday afternoon, you'd be on DHT, and maybe sometime you can come over there. Now, for those,
honestly, that's what we should start doing, dude. We should start auctioning DHT episodes for charity. It all goes to the Children's Hospital, and each week we auction off our guest on DHT. That might be an idea right there, Kluby.
And they get to come on and tell, like, either agree or disagree on if they, you know, if they don't like people overweight, like yesterday's episode or stuff like that. Tim, did you catch yesterday's DHT already?
I did.
What would you?
So you watched Kluver hang himself?
Yeah, I listened to it while I was walking. It was pretty funny though. I was dying while I was walking. Dude, going through. It's pretty good when I'm like on my walk and I'm audibly laughing out loud, right? I'm the only one there, but people probably just hear this random audible laugh.
Yeah, we get some of that sometimes. Tim Sheeks is on the other side of that conversation, Drake. First of all, he's doing it while he was moving his body. He was on a walk, right? And
walks are big on the Tyler Kluver fitness plan.
Big on, they are. I mean, Tim can talk about that. If we want to just turn this into a Tyler Kluver fitness promo, we could, because Tim is a client. Tim,
we already have come to the conclusion and the understanding that Kluver cherry picked you out of the Patreon subscribers you are also a subscriber to the Tyler Kluver fitness empire.
There's no home cooking.
I understand that he has you under his spell, but congratulations on your fitness journey, man.
I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Yeah. The real reason that we picked him is because we're twins. For anyone, if I shaved my beard down to a goatee, Tim and I could.
And look, Kluver is like three steps away from an Iowa football strength conditioning coach, but he's got the exact same look as them. And I don't know who you're trying to be more, Mark Wiseman or an Iowa strength coach, but you fit either bill.
I would take any of them, to be honest. That'd be a dream job.
I don't know, to be exactly what you're signing up for, because I thought it was going to be a dream job until I went and saw what they had to do. And yep. Then I was even going to school to do that. And I said, not ever going to do that. So not quite the dream. If you knew exactly what went into those days for them.
That's true.
Yeah. The, there's a lot of pros and cons. Now I want to walk this back before we get into Tim Cheeks, because Tim, you're going to get plenty of spotlight here and questions thrown at you, and you're going to get to ask questions as well. For those of you who did not listen to the two previous episodes, we had our boy James on before for episode number one of this series, and then we had our guy Mike on, both fantastic episodes, right? And now we have our guy Tim. If you would like to be in the running for episode number four of this series, patreon.com/washupwalkons, and you get a bunch of different perks, including the ability to be in the pool and in the running for these. Now, Drake, did you do a on the spot research of who founded Patreon in that intro?
No, my favorite podcast is a podcast called Are You Garbage? And in their intro, they're always like, you know, they're plugging all of their different things. And they're like, oh yeah, and what's that last thing? I can't forget. Oh, patreon.com. And they're like, thank you, Jack Conti and Sam Yam. Like, we owe you everything, da da da. So that's where I got that from.
You might have to start adding that one in. Because the Patreon is a really easy way to both get people to enjoy more of our content, make it really easy as a monthly sort of thing that kind of just sits, you know, for some people, it's like, oh, fuck, we got charged again. But I would like to think that we come through on the $4, $8, or $12. I think DHT is worth it enough, plus the donation to the kids' hospital.
What do you say, Tim? Is DHT worth $4 and then $4 to the children?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So really, it would just be, is DHT worth a dollar? Because you get four DHTs for that $4.
It's true.
Yeah.
So is DHT worth a buck? I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... every week, it's kind of the one that you look forward to the most, just because you have no idea what's going to happen, right? Like, at least we have a little bit of an idea, right? On the Monday, Thursday one, like, we're going to hit on some Hawkeye topics or things that have happened, you know, throughout the week. But EHT, you're just like, I have no idea where this thing is going to go.
This thing could explode like a nuke at any point. Yeah, man.
That feels so good to hear, that people are strapped into the roller coaster that they don't even know where it's going.
Yeah. In fact, I had somebody message me on Patreon today asking where the Goopy merch is at. Like, they want
for the real, Kluber. You're dropping the ball, merch guy.
I'm not. There's a timeline to this. We're doing the spring drop, and then the next two pieces are fully tented, which I have a design idea for. And Goopy.
Okay.
They're coming.
So patience is a virtue is what you're telling them.
Yes, yes.
But if patience is a virtue, then why does the early bird get the worm?
Don't steal George's shit.
We're riding exercise bikes and he's like, hey, how should I tweet this? And we're bouncing ideas back and forth.
That is a good point though, right? I think it's both can be true. Tim, speaking of George Kittle, Tim is big WWE fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
And 49ers guy.
And 49ers.
Okay, now go back to WWE in the 90s and the early 2000s. Like, cut it off at 2010. Give me some of your favorites from that era, because that's the Drake Kulik WWE era, where I was a pretty big fan, too.
Yeah, so I'm, what, like 9 years older than you guys? So
36?
Yep. 36. Yeah. So, right. So like Attitude Era was like my prime, right? Okay. So Austin and stuff. Yeah. So there's that. Obviously.
What about DX?
Oh yeah.
That was, DX, baby.
Yeah. That was always good. Yeah. One of my favorite follows on Twitter is definitely, I think it's 90s WWE or something like that. They come out with such great like memes and things like that, and I'll send it to them, or I'll throw it in the Discord just to see if people will say anything.
The Discord.
I was talking to George about, hey, both you idiots, shut up. I was talking to George. I was talking about dogs right there, but I was talking to George, and he said that WWE WrestleMania was insane.
Yeah. No, I took like a screenshot when I saw him on there and sent it to Tyler, and I threw it in the Discord. I was
when he was right behind McAfee?
Yeah, I was like, I think it was like 90 seconds into it opening. I'm like, dude, there's Kittle already.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
and he made McAfee's blog because of it. And so I was watching the McAfee WrestleMania vlog on YouTube, and right there, George, Claire, Bruce, Manders, they're all sitting right there hanging out.
Yeah. If George is in the building, the camera is going to find him. Like, did you see the Predators last night? Yeah. Like, they found him. Like, he's a rock star. He's one of those guys. It just is who it is. You just happen to ride exercise bikes with him in the morning.
So Claire was like, not Claire, fuck. My brain's all screwed. George today, after I saw the video of Claire, because I brought it up to him, I was like, dude, saw some videos. Looked like you had a pretty decent time last night. He's like, yeah, we was talking about it. He goes, it's pretty hard to stay anonymous, though, when you go on the big screen. He's like, pretty much everybody knows you're there after that. He said he had to take a lot of pictures after that.
Yeah, your night's ruined. Deal. Your night's ruined at that point. It's not all roses. All right, let's get into quick before we get to the nitty gritty of this. Tim, you've been hearing it all along. The DRF people, they're our guys, right? And they sponsor this podcast. If you and the Patreon army wasn't with us, DRF would be the only thing keeping this afloat. So shout out to the boys. We've got our friends over at DRF doing, I mean, they're going all out for this NFL draft season. They're giving out free money during this year's NFL draft, and it's simple to get some of your own. All you have to do is place a $10 NFL or college football future bet during the draft. Think the Hawkeyes are going to win the Big Ten? They might if we find a quarterback, right? Place that bet. Think the addition of Linderbaum will propel whatever team drafts him to the Super Bowl? I don't know. Worked out for Werfsey and the boys. Place those future bets on anything and everything football. Once you place that $10 future bet, they will put a free $10 into your account. Use this before May 7th, Saturday, May 7th, and the free bet you can then use on any NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup, or any other sport. So shout out to the boys at DRF keeping us alive. Tim, when and what is your first Hawkeye memory?
Oh,
are you a lifer? Are you a lifetime guy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Born and raised.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, honestly, like basketball has always been like, that's been my sport, like growing up and everything. So like getting to go to stuff, I got to go to basketball games more than I did football.
Sure.
My true like first memory was, I want to say, I don't remember. It was 92 or 93. It might've even been shortly after Chris Street died. We went to an Ohio State Iowa game, and like my favorite player was James Winters, and he was actually out that day, but he was down on the bench, and I like went down on the court and like he signed my hat, and that was just like, right, that was the coolest thing ever to me at that moment.
And you still remember that being like 6 or 7 years old?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was, yeah. And then as far as football, I remember, like I said, we didn't really go to any games growing up. We just kind of watched them on TV. But I remember going to a spring game, maybe like 95 or something like that. And it wasn't technically a Cedric Shaw jersey, right? But we all know it was a Cedric Shaw number 5 jersey when they had like the yellow feather wing stuff on there. So that was, I remember that was like the first jersey I had. And then shortly after that, my dad got me like a number 6 Tim Dwight. Like obviously we share the same first name. So, but Tim Dwight was just always like, he's just always been my favorite no matter what, right? Like everybody, for me anyways, like my two favorite Hawkeyes of all time are always going to be Tim Dwight for football and then Andre Woolridge for basketball. Like it's just, you know, they're my guys growing up when I was that age, when you kind of have that influence, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, there's guys that I respect and love and was a huge Marvin McNutt guy. But Tim Dwight's just always going to be that guy.
Big Tyler Kluver guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I missed your big moment.
You weren't there?
I was not, unfortunately, in there was a 11-year run from 2008 to, I guess, through 2019. Obviously, nobody was there in 2020, but up until then, I only missed two games during that stretch, and one was the Ohio State game because my daughter was born the night before. So it was, you know, it was one of those things, but it was a cool.
So you didn't bring your daughter to Kinnick?
No, she was
one day old.
Early. Yeah, she was a little early. So we were up in the NICU watching the game. And I mean, she was fine. She was, you know, it was just that she was early, so it was more precautionary. Yeah. And I remember, like, I had her, I was holding her as the game started, right? And we get the pick six. And like, I like stand up and I'm just losing my mind. And like, I just hand her back to my wife. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I'm going, you gotta take her. You're a lot calmer than I am right now.
Oh, shit.
So, it was really cool. Just then my wife went, you know, she was tired. She went back down to her room and it was my daughter and I up in her NICU room. And, you know, the game, everything just went right that game, right? So like, we'd score or you guys would score and I'd give her like a little fist pump in her, you know, bed and be like, we're going to do this. And it was pretty cool.
That is a pretty cool first moment with your kid.
We were fist pumping our teammates. Like, we're going to do this.
The cool part too was like Dolph gave her a shout out like right after halftime, you know, like they do like happy birthdays and different things like that during the game. And I'd sent him the information, so he shouted her out, and I've got that saved on our iPad, just so, you know, we can save that and show her someday, like, hey, this was like right after you were born, you weren't even 24 hours old yet.
That's pretty great. Yeah, Drake, you're right. We were looking at each other like we were babies, just like, we're gonna do it, man. We're gonna do it.
Can you believe this, dude?
We're gonna do it. Let's just keep saying we're gonna do it, because I don't know if we're actually gonna do it. Because these guys could strike hot and fast whenever they want. That's quite a memory. I remember that. You are a big Tim Dwight guy. Drake and I met old Tim Dwight down at the KC golf outing, right? That's who we met, right, Drake?
That is correct.
I think he would come on the podcast. He's an interesting cat. I think he would be a good guest. Yeah. I think he'd be an even better time if you were one of his boys and you were going out drinking or something. He seems like a guy's guy. At least was the. I don't even think we can talk about the conversation we had that day at the golf course after everything was going kind of.
Maybe wild. On a Tuesday.
Yeah, we could probably bust it out on a Tuesday. What? So then, our dumbasses start a podcast, and how soon did you start listening to us?
It was pretty early. I want to say it was in the first couple episodes I jumped on. Because I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe within the first couple, I think even John Miller had listened and was like, hey, you should give this a shot or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And
take his word for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do trust what he says, right? I've listened to him for almost 20 years now, you know, from his radio days up to and all the stuff he does now. So if he says this is something to listen to, I'll at least give it a chance. And so, yeah, I jumped in right away. I think you guys had like a little break kind of after the season, right? Like where you weren't really sure, are we going to keep doing this or not? And so I think there was like a little hiatus where it didn't, because it wasn't something that was constantly happening, right? It kind of fell back in the mind and wasn't something I sought out, and then kind of got back into it a little bit. I would say, oh, probably like, I don't remember what specific episode. I do remember, I think the one that like made me kind of appreciate it, right, and more was like the one where you talked to Drake and you kind of dug into like his story. And I think it's just because it came more personable, right? Like I felt like I actually knew who I was listening to, and Right, because before you're listening, you guys are just kind of breaking down the games and stuff, and you have a different perspective. But for me, at least, it was kind of cool to be like, all right, I have an idea of who I'm listening to, and like I can respect and understand kind of where you've come from. And so I don't know, like I'm kind of big into that whole something's got to draw me in. And I'm not saying it's like story time, but just, you know, it's kind of similar with wrestling, right? Like wrestling's cool, but if you can give me a really good story, like that's what's going to suck me in.
Yeah.
And if you can give me quality content where it's real and authentic and I understand who the people are, like that's going to keep me wanting to come back for more.
Well, there you go, Drake.
You've been around a long time if you're listening to the story about me, because I was still living in Iowa City when that episode came out.
Yep.
That, it's that authenticity factor, man. Like that, maybe.
And now the content's decent, man. Especially if there's anything that to actually talk about Hawkeye related, yeah. We can put together a good hour.
Yeah, we were rough in the beginning. Like it kind of hurts me. It hurts me to go back and listen because everyone.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't just delete 200 episodes.
Dude, because we have people who find us. Shout out Allison Ringstead on Twitter. She's still working her way through every episode. She started like not too long ago, and she started at one, which some of those episodes, a lot of the episodes in the middle of the season, even some of the out of season ones, are time relevant. Right, like we're playing a team and we're talking about a team that week, and now it's not relevant because that team doesn't even have those players anymore. It doesn't matter. We're out of that season. She's going through all of them. She's getting the entire story front to back. And I don't think there's many people who do that, but we can't just have a podcast out there where like, oh, dude, I found this cool Hawkeye podcast. The very few times that may happen when someone's talking about us, and then it's like, where's all the episodes? It only starts at 158. Like, and they're like, oh yeah, they deleted them because they fucking sucked. You know, like, like I don't think that works, but
and they missed like Kevin's three or four early rants where he really got off.
Oh, episode 67 post the 2019 Wisconsin game is a top fiver. Kevin was livid. He was fucking pissed. And I'm pretty sure that's the episode where he drops the KF doesn't need Iowa. Iowa needs KF. All timer. That one, that talk about fully tented, huh? I think he might have even teared up in that one, which I think we've all cried on this podcast, but that was like, I remember Drake and I going like, fucking take it, huh? Just take the summit.
Hey,
keep going.
You got the reins, pal.
Keep going.
Bring us home. Whip the horse.
Are there any other episodes? The Drake one does resonate with a lot of people. I think when we humanize each other, right? When Drake and I and Kevin, with Kevin, it's really hard too because one, he's never here. And two, and I did invite him to this episode, people. I gave him the courtesy text. Drake can confirm at fucking 9 a.m., even earlier, I think.
And you made it sure to put in there that it was, in fact, only a courtesy text.
Well, I knew he wasn't going to be able to make it, but at least I told him. That's not true, too. There's been several afternoons where on Wednesdays he's got work at like in the evening. And so he gets the afternoon off a little bit. Maybe he could have made it. But I think when we humanize each other, right, and we – because that's why you're like – because you're right, Tim. Like when we talk about – to you as a fan and a listener, to some extent, you feel like you know us, right? And the more like, and unless you have a previous relationship with any of the three of us, I would probably say like that sense of knowing us is very, very superficial. In reality, like if you really like hung out with us for a weekend or something, but the more we can create that connection, or at least that, the fantasy that like we're friends, not on purpose or in some like malicious way, but like, damn, it kind of feels like I'm just hanging out with these guys. The more people feel connected to it. Right. And so
I'll tell you what though, for the people on Patreon who listen to DHT and like, as if our regular podcast wasn't raw enough, but like really understand us at what our humor is like, he's listened to the episode about me and like who I am as a person. He's probably listened to the mental health episode, listened to enough hours of us talking to, you know what I'm saying? The Patreon subscribers, that's why we call them like our army, dude, because they really do kind of know us.
They're definitely on a deeper level.
Like, that's why we can do one of these episodes and Tim just feels like he's just hanging out with us. It's not awkward or anything because he actually knows how we communicate. He knows how to hang with the boys, even though he's never hung with the boys.
I know, you know what I'm saying? It's true. It's true. Like some of these people have listened to us talk for
hundreds of hours.
Hundreds. Like, it's kind of nuts. Are there any other episodes, Tim, that stick out?
I mean, I think the, if you want to call it the fanboy stuff, right? Like the having the Drew Tate and Ricky Stanzi were obviously going to be peak ones. The Big E one was really cool because right, like he and I are basically the same age, right? I mean, it's like I remember him talking about Reggie Bush, right? So I'm like, Big E's really cool, right? He's a really cool deal. And he's like, dude, I'm a nobody next to Reggie Bush. But right, in our eyes, I'm like, no, you're a really big deal. But to him, he's like, no, man, I was like next to Reggie Bush. Like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that even as he is where he's at, like, he's still super, super humble, obviously, for one. But two, I don't know, it's just cool to see an Iowa person. Obviously, he's from Florida, but he came here to Iowa and played. And that's just really cool to see someone have that success.
I thought about E's episode a couple days ago, and like I was just sitting on the couch and I kind of spaced off and I was like, Big E said Hawks by a million in front of millions. Like, we have that clip forever. And I was just sitting there, I was like, God damn, that's cool. And then the week after, he came on our podcast. What the hell? I was like, I had a dissociation moment. And I was like, did that happen? What is going on? He is crazy humble, by the way. Like, even off the mic when Drake and I were just talking to him, it was like he was just a dude. Like, it is cool to see that, like, people who are, I don't know how else to say it, more famous, more well-known, right, still have people in there to them that are, like, the guy. You know, some, like, mystical...
The other podcast that I listen to all the time is the Foreplay podcast, the Barstool one. Right. And obviously Trent's on there and he's from Iowa, but like, I think of the same thing, right? Like, these guys are just four guys that love to golf and they're just talking about golf and other stuff, but they have advanced themselves where they, I mean, I don't know if you guys
they
ever
just
watched
played
it.
Augusta.
Yeah. And like they just did, like, they're doing a video series with all the TaylorMade, right? Because they're technically TaylorMade athletes now. And so, like, they just did a challenge with Rory McIlroy, right? And they're doing stuff with Colin Morikawa and Sergio Garcia. And they're like, this is insane, right? Like, we're just four guys that talk about golf and have kind of a podcast. And we're getting to do all this stuff, right? And I think you guys are in a similar, right? Like, you have it's not the same level in some regards, right? Like, you're not traveling.
Say, Foreplay, hit us up. We're peers now, from what Tim's saying. Hit us up.
I mean, come on, Trent. Get
collaborate.
So it is bullshit that Trent hasn't acknowledged us or come on the podcast yet. When I've reached out to
big him. Facts, because let's just fucking call a spade a spade. Trent hasn't done shit compared to us because all he did was talk about golf with three other guys and blew up because they all tell jokes. Like, we played ball. So Trent,
right.
Quit
front. Well, here's the thing. We got E. We got Zach Johnson. Like, Trent ain't as big as those motherfuckers, right? So, like, Trent can come on the pod, you know? But we'll get it.
I think he'd be a great episode. I think he'd be a lot of fun to talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you're right. It's that was a crazy episode. I even forgot that he came on. Obviously, that would be a big episode for you. Yeah. That's sick. I want to get into Iowa specific stuff here. as an outsider, as relative to the program of like, hey, I've someone who's played like Drake and I, when you look at the Iowa football program specifically, are there things that you enjoy that Iowa does that it seems like most other teams or programs don't do? And then vice versa, is there stuff that you see like on social media, access to the program, stuff that other teams do that you wish Iowa did do? Does anything come to mind there?
So I will say, and a shout out to him, Chris Ruth, like congrats on that new role, right? With I think he's at Central Florida now.
UCF. Yep.
Yeah. UCF. So, but I just feel like that was like a huge get that the team had social media wise. Like he did more, I feel like, getting the brand out than they've done in a long time, right? Like for whatever reason, the university like gets in their own way of opportunities to like advance the brand with something super small.
Really? Holy shit.
Right. I mean, we're just little things, right? And so he just did things, and it's for everything, right? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, majority of the time we're talking about football and basketball and stuff like that. But I just think of, you know, the videos he put out, even for like the gymnastics teams and FaZe, right? All those other teams that just got a little bit more exposure than they would have. And so I'll be curious. I think that obviously
around a camera that was like, it had to have been $500,000 camera, right, Kluver? He was the only soul that was allowed to touch this thing.
It wasn't
around like a rocket launcher from Halo 2.
Yeah.
It hung on his shoulder with the double buttons like it was a rocket launcher.
Yeah, it looked like he was in Afghanistan pulling out a fucking the rocket launcher. It was not $500,000, but I think he had it up to like 120 or 150K.
Dude, he had so many lenses.
Yeah, I mean, altogether, like, equipment, dude, he definitely had.
Hey, he had the rocket launcher, and then he could just pull the Glock out, and then he had the silencer for the Glock.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy was strapped with camera lenses.
He had it all, and Tim makes a good
magazine for everything.
He really did. I mean, we had him on the podcast as one of our first guests. You remember that, Drake? He was like, episode, I want to say like 40, 41, 42, or 39, 40, 41 was three in a row. The first three guests we ever had. And it was Chris Ruth, Josie Jewell, and Pat Anger. Those were our first three guests that we ever had. Pat's a bitch and
Just won't come back on.
Just like,
and I did Pat a favor and he didn't repay that favor.
True. Josie's also a bitch.
Sexual favor.
And won't come back on. And I'm sure Chris would come back on in a minute because that guy never stops working. It speaks to like what you were talking about, Tim. Like he did put so many people on the map. He was the perfect guy along with Max Allen, who has since moved on as well. When they came in was kind of the time that Drake and I came in as well. And Kevin. And it was right when social media started to kind of like turn. And become like big, and they were the perfect guys for the job. I mean, I think if you look at the numbers, Iowa social media engagement is top five, top 10 of like all college programs, football wise and like all sports. And they're a huge reason for that. And there's really no reason we should be in the top 10 if you're looking at just like the biggest name brands, right?
Right.
But they have us up there and that's one thing that Iowa has.
I mean, I think of the 2015, right? The blackout game where you guys wear the all blacks. Like he had everybody that cares, right? Like there's a bunch of people that could care less whether or not you guys wear alternate jerseys. But as someone in 2015 who was, you know, 30 years old, like it was kind of still cool, me, right? Like I still think they're kind of cool with jerseys when they mix things up from time to time. And so like you just give that tease and like you don't show it. Like they came out and they were kind of like, you could see it, but it was dark. And so you couldn't really see what the jersey was, right? And then they would just like continuously peel the onion back until you finally got to see it like 4 hours before kickoff. You got to see what are we actually wearing, right? And he's playing, what was the song? I think it was a Rick Ross song.
Black Coffins.
Yes, black, right? Like that was just
you need 100 black coffins for 100 bad men.
Dude, that I will say
100 black crates so we can lay their ass in.
Dude, that was hard, bro. Like, talk about fully tented. I'll get fully tented on this episode right now thinking about it. The production we had for that was top tier. And not only that, I have a special connection to that because then the first people out are always the specialists, right? And for a lot of the students, or even some of the fans who weren't checking social media, like the 2 to 4 hours when they finally dropped what they looked like, people still hadn't seen the video. And so they were in the stadium already, or they weren't getting service. And so the first time they saw, you know, the hype was built. And then the first time they saw it was when me and Marshall and Dylan and Miguel ran out onto the field, and it was like, we got a big pop. And there was more people in the crowd that night because it was a beautiful October night.
Because we did, that was the grapple on the gridiron in the morning.
It might have been November, I think.
It was like the second week in November. So yeah. You would think it would have been like 35, and it was like 70. It was perfect.
Everything lined up just absolutely perfectly. And the pop we got that, I'll remember that night forever. I was juiced. I was juiced for that night. And the jerseys were so simple. I wish our names would have been on them and we got to keep them. That's honestly bullshit. I'm going to put that one on Greg. But that was a good night. And shout out to Chris Ruth. And shout out to Ruth Chris, the steakhouse. I love that place too. Anything that other places do that Iowa doesn't do? You're muted, Drake.
I was about to ask that question, and it goes right along with that. Is there anything that you wish KF did
or
that these other crooked-ass coaches don't do, like pay the players or anything? Because, you know, KF's a straight shooter, and football, especially Big Ten college football, Division I college football, is not a straight shooting game.
Right. I think, you know, when I was – I'd say when I was younger, because I still feel like I'm really young. But I was, you know, back in like 20, so what was that, 11 and 12, right? Like it felt at that time we'd like peaked almost again in 2009 and 10.
Yep.
And it just felt like, I don't know, like that was a really frustrating time. I remember, so 2012 was a terrible year.
Trash.
4-8, just, yeah, everything. You win on the road at Michigan State, and then you lose out. You get embarrassed kind of on national TV against Penn State when it's, you know, everything, right? And there was
– I was at that game, by the way, the Penn State.
Yeah, that was
– where the only touchdown we had was like a Jordan Cotton kickoff return like later in the game or something.
Yeah, it was 35-0 super fast.
It was cold.
I don't remember what – I know – we lost two dudes in like four plays, and Scherf was one of them.
Yeah, he had a nasty broken ankle.
Yeah. And I thought, you thought for a moment, like when that happened, like, oh, maybe like the crowd got into it. Maybe they'll come a little, nope. It just went downhill even more. So, I mean, there was some frustration in there. Like, it just felt like from an outsider, right? Like, you guys obviously have the relationship with him. It was just kind of like, does he know how to adapt to just, it felt like the way the game's changing and doing some things. And at times still, you see him like peel it back, right? You have like 2015 and they're like, oh, new Kirk, and he's doing certain things. And so there are times where it can be frustrating where you're like, I feel like he can be, it's just what he does, right? And he can be kind of stubborn in his own way. Like, I know I've seen this work enough that I'm not willing to change it. But I respect that enough now too, because you see what other coaches and other places do. And while there is frustration at times, right, even with the offense, right, you can be specific there. At the end of the day, like, we go into the season and we always have a chance to win 10 games because we're going to be in every single game, you know, save for the Michigan Big Ten championship. That was but that's still like an outlier, right? Like that's one game out of, what was it? I think we'd gone almost 30 games where the defense hadn't even given up more than 24 points, right? I mean, so then you're like, that's just an outlier. You can't even say that that's something that's common. So the consistency that's there, I appreciate, right? Like there's so many people that look and go around. Like I think of Franklin at Penn State now, right? Like every year people are like, let's get rid of this guy or do this and this. And there was a slight period of that with Ferentz. I think there was a little fatigue in that 11, 12, 13 timeframe. But now you kind of appreciate it more. You're like, okay, he stuck with, like he could have gone to the NFL. He could have done a lot of things and he didn't want to. And so there's a lot of people that are trying to always move on and he's not. And I appreciate that because you know that we're going to have guys get OWIs and other things from here to there. But like some of the other stuff that you hear other people do, like, you know, you're not going to see that in Iowa. And if you do, like, I'm not going to say it's going to be swept under the bus type thing. Right. But it's, they're not going to make it a big deal. It's going to be like, nope, we addressed it and took care of it. And we're moving on. Like, that's not how we run the program.
I was going to say something there, but I'm not going to go that route. Plenty of stuff to say. He's a legend of sustainability. I get what you're saying too, because on the outside, especially on the outside versus when you're in the program, you just like, don't know, like you're not around him enough. Like I think we might've actually talked about this in one of our, not to bring up the Tyler Kluver fitness again, but in one of our weekly meetings, like a couple weeks ago, Tim, we talked about how I made the comparison between how, like, for the guys, they get 12 days a year to really like show what they've got. Right. Otherwise, for them to stay motivated and to do what they do, it's all behind closed doors. They get no praise for it. And I was like trying to relate that back to, like, you know, every so often fitness, you only get to see the cool progress gains like every so often, but every other day you're grinding your ass off. You don't get a lot of reward. And it's like from the outside, those 12 days, maybe a few other press conference thing, like you just feel like you don't get enough of them to know if he, like, you question if he, are they doing their job? I don't know. Like, is it, are they working hard? I'm not sure. I'm just a fan and I hope they are. And like, from Drake and I's perspective, we know like what goes on a day-to-day basis. It's a little easier to trust that, but yeah, I understand that.
That kind of leads into one of the questions that I had. We can come back to it later if you
know. Go for questions.
But like you just said there, right? Like we are not there every single day. So when you see things not working as a fan, right, you get that frustration and you almost question like, is he putting the right people out there? Like, are the right people playing the game? And ultimately, you know, there's probably a handful of times I don't think he would probably admit it, you know, publicly. He might just say it, you know, to himself or someone else, but, you know, he feels pretty confident in there. But like, were there ever times for you two where you just kind of question, like, is the right guy on the field in that position? Like, because, and I had sent, you know, a text to you earlier, like one of the examples I came up with as a fan in that time frame was like Nico Law, right? Like he was a name that was on the internet. Like you saw highlights of him, right? And you're just like, this dude like lays people out. He does this and this.
He fucking steals from people. I mean, God.
I don't know all the deets. I'm just telling you, like, as a fan.
Motherfucker jacked me. Anyway, go on.
So you just like, right, you see other, you're like, oh, he comes in late, right, if you're up big or whatever, and he like makes a couple big plays, and you're like, why is the dude out on the field? You know, clearly there's something there, but we're not there the other, right, 6 days.
Yeah, you're not there when he's committing theft every other day of the week. Like, that's what you don't see. That's actually a perfect, Drake's laughing his ass off because he knows all about this. That's a really good question. And I actually just listened to McCaffrey's podcast, Teed Up. And he was talking about how some people, like, they were talking about social media stuff and how, like, why doesn't this guy get more playing time? Why isn't he in more? And I think Connor was just like, it's because the fucking guy doesn't know the plays. Like, yeah, he's great individually one-on-one, but he doesn't know any of the sets. Like, how can we get this guy in the game if he doesn't know any plays? And it's the same thing with football. It's like, yeah, Nico Law, fucking Marcus Collins. Somebody go back and find Marcus Collins. I hope there's a screenshot on Twitter or something of that dude. He was built like Bob Sanders, but probably like 2 or 3 inches taller. And he even went down, was it Western Michigan, Drake, where he went down and decapitated a kid?
He did that on several occasions. He was a murderer on kickoff.
He was a murderer on kickoff and potentially a murderer in real life. I don't know. And like some of these guys have just out of the galaxy talent, but we walk off the field and their attitude is shit, right? And they aren't a good teammate and they don't know the playbook that well. And sure, if Coach Parker plays base defense against a team that's not very good and doesn't make checks, sure, let's throw a guy out there that just can win with athleticism. But if you're in a big time game and you got to run some sort of something deep in the playbook, tell you what, you probably don't want Nico Law out there. Guy's not going to understand what they're doing, right? Couple of the guys in that lawsuit, they don't know what the call means. Okay. So can't have them on the field. Can't have guys just tossing the ball back in bounds. Right. So it is what it is. And that's tough as a fan because we recruited this guy because he's talented and we've put him on the field a couple times. And so there's a disconnect of like, why sometimes, but not all the time. Right. Especially, and it's just like you want somebody out there, at least Iowa does, the way Iowa plays football. You want somebody out there who's going to be consistently good over occasionally great. Right. Yep. So that's the answer to that. And the problem is that fans will never know. They don't know how close to the line that's being ridden with each individual situation. And so they'll always err on the side of, oh, the coaches are making the wrong decision. Like what could be is always the fan's fantasy, right? That's why the second place or the second string QB is always the most popular player, because the fans are always thinking, well, this guy could be the guy. Yeah, until we put him in there and he's the exact same or worse, right? Drake, you have anything to say about that?
No, you pretty well hit it on the head there. It's a lot of times because the guy just doesn't know the game of football and doesn't care to really learn the game of football. And, you know, apathy ends up not in the program at the University of Iowa.
Next question. Do you have any other questions?
I did. I think I sent you another one.
It was the one about Mitch King. I think it was the Ricky.
Yeah. Thank you. Just a time or maybe there was multiple times. And it would have been cool to have Kevin since he was on the defensive side of the ball versus the offense. Kevin. But you know, like when Stanzi was on, he talked about how Mitch King just like ripped into him after like he threw like 4 picks, like just running off and like that's 4. But I was just curious if you guys had any experiences with that, right? Or like you just felt like you know, obviously Drake for you, like the defense just was not doing their job and you were just getting frustrated. It might be more.
I definitely never had anything with the defense. There was several times where I got very pissed at specialists.
I was just going
because
say.
Specialists are the kings of just being fuck ups. And so, you know, when they don't do their job, you got to jump on their ass because, you know, all they were doing was playing fucking pool and touching each other all week. So and then there was a game in particular. We were playing North Texas and they weren't a good team, but they ran a 3-man front. It was a 3-4 defense. And they were just like confusing the shit out of our offensive line with things that weren't difficult. And our quarterback had been sacked like 5 times because the tackles just couldn't set right. And I went up to the bench. I'm like, figure it the
fuck out. Like, this is not a difficult concept.
On the other side of that, being the specialist, I had plenty of those. I had plenty of those Stanzi moments, right? Like, more often than not, it was in 14. Like, 14 was a lot of them. 16.
Tough year for the boys.
Tough year to be.
That was actually the – so 2015. So we'd had season tickets. 2015, we did not renew. We still went to every game. We still went to every game, but we just did not renew. Like, we were just frustrated. Like, I'm just not saying I'm going to invest my money. In the long haul, it actually turned out to be like a better investment because we were able to get some, you know, games for cheaper than what it would have been for.
It was because of the specialist that you didn't renew?
No, it wasn't because of the specialist. It was just because of the frustration of that year.
But also the specialist.
Which was a big problem that year. Man, I mean, so many people yelled at us over the years. I mean, it was just like, I mean, I always go back to the story of when, even when we were doing things right, like, but there was many a time. I mean, the worst was like when Brian or Coach Morgan or somebody random who doesn't really even have a connection to the special teams or, like, you know, during special teams periods, during practice, they're kind of like off doing their thing or taking a quick break. And they would come down to the end of the bench during a game and be like, you know, hey, are we going to figure it the fuck out? Or what? Like, you guys got to help us out here. And I'm just sitting there kind of like, yeah, man, you're right. You're right, man. I can't do a lot about it, but you're fucking right, coach. And, you know, I'm trying my best here. I really am. A lot of people in the stands, right? I want this to go well. But the ball just ain't coming off the foot like we'd like it to right now. And I don't have the answer. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Notice the spiral came out the opposite direction that time.
Well, yeah.
Snap.
There was only a couple times when it was my fault. If you're part of the Discord the other day, Drake said something about me being a bitch or whatever. And I was like, yeah, sorry for being almost perfect for 4 years.
They said that there might be like somebody related to Kluver that's on the team now or is going to be on the team or something. And all I said was that Kluver's at Iowa fucking suck.
Yeah. And then I responded with, sorry for being almost perfect for 4 years, which is true. Yeah, it's tough. It's just a tough look. I will say this, like, you know, it's such an intense environment that when someone does sort of step out of their way to say something, it makes you take a more thorough look of like, hey, this is something we need to fix right now. Right. And usually it maybe works a little bit. Most of the time, it probably just makes the person saying something feel better. But, you know, it is what it is. So, I never threw four picks. So, Stanzi, I understand how Stanzi felt probably a little bit, maybe even worse. I loved his answer, though, because he was just kind of like, yeah, fuck it, man. I'm not doing good. You know, like, this is not good.
I guess maybe it was a good thing that King wasn't there the next year. When he threw five against Indiana through the first three quarters. Right, but like, what does he do? Then throws almost three touchdowns in a row on three passes, first three possessions of the fourth quarter. And I always chuckle that they dropped in the rankings after that, even though it wasn't pretty, but they actually did cover the spread that day.
Yeah.
Good teams win, great teams cover, right?
Right.
I was gonna ask something else. I don't have much more, Drake. You got anything else here?
Nah, it's been a fun hour.
Been good. Well, Tim, we appreciate you. By the way, Tim kicked ass on a workout that he already sent me his little check in. 13 rounds of a workout I sent him. How was that?
It was good. I'll be completely honest. The dumbbell toe taps I was doing, like, I don't know what happened. I went, like, it was mid rep, and like my foot instead of tapping, like went all the way on the bell and just like it just stuck. And I just wiped out on my back. Like, I was just like, I'm so glad that I'm just down here by myself, because that was just like, all right, I guess we'll just start over again. Like, then it made me nervous. I'm like, someone saw you. Right. No, not that someone saw me, but like, did I do something to my dumbbell that now I'm not going to fall every time I go to tap this thing?
Well, there you go. We don't fuck around over at TK Fit. Got people going down, getting hit.
I just wanted to real quick, a couple of things. I just wanted to say thanks to you guys, one, for having me on. But two, I just wanted to say, and I'm hoping that I speak for, you know, a lot of the people and the patrons and then the Discord and everything as well. But like, I think you guys have a further reach than you maybe realize with the people, you know, just the influence that you have with some of the things that you say and do. You know, like Drake talks about jiu-jitsu all the time, and I never really thought about it, and him bringing it up, right? Like, my son now goes to jiu-jitsu 2 days a week, and he does, or 3 days a week actually, and he does kickboxing 2 of the days, right? I mean, it's just something for him to do. You know, obviously,
I'll say we fucking hate to hear that. We really do. That's tough. Okay, continue.
Drake Cullen influencing the youth.
But, you know, and then obviously, how many times, you know, did you give your, as much as you joked about it, right, given the plug during your podcast, and how many times did I listen to it? Like, I know I need to do something. And, you know, and I finally just reached out, and we're about to hit a year next week. So, you know, that's just, it's really cool. Obviously, you got the people reaching out with the Jennies, and, you know, I'm sure Crumble Cookie's not too far away as well, right? I mean,
the Crumble Cookie is actually, me and my girlfriend are going to go out on a dinner date tonight, and it's going to be finished with copious amounts of edibles and Crumble Cookies. So that is what I'm looking down the gun barrel of.
We are definitely, we're food influencers for sure. We've got, at this point, it's got to be in the thousands of dollars of retail that we've influenced on Jenny's ice cream, simply because it's $10 a goddamn pint, but it's worth it.
And Tim, here's one thing that I will offer you. I also have the same education that Kluver did, except for I did much better in school and studied a lot harder. And I will offer you my services for half price, just so Kluver doesn't get the business.
Hey, go for it. Hey, here's the thing though. Like,
DK Fit. Fuck TK Fit. This is DK Fit.
Yeah, fit this dick in your mouth. I think the fact that you got better grades doesn't mean shit about how good I am at the actual job. And actually,
but I'm better.
Maybe, but you don't know that. And Tim could just be like, yeah, he's actually not that fucking great of a trainer. But
yeah, but guess what? Hey, Tim, I'm not trying to slight you right now. I'm not trying to dig you here. You worked with Tim today. I worked with George Kittle today. Who's a better trainer? My athlete's in the NFL.
Okay. We'll go that route.
Suck me, Kluver.
We'll leave it there. That's a slight to Tim, and that's really disrespectful at the end of a Patreon episode.
No. Because I said, with all due respect.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. I don't take any slight.
Tim, the
I am far inferior athlete to George as well, but all I'm saying is I'm a far superior trainer to Kluver. So come to DK Fit, we'll get you right.
No, Tim, that is kind of you to say. We appreciate. I mean, the you know, everyone that knows when we talk on the Walk On Army DHT podcast, like, that shit really is like this weird, like, tight cult community that we've created. It's really pretty awesome. Like we said earlier, there's definitely like a deeper level that you get to know Drake and I on. And the fact that you're not the only person or the first person who has said that we probably underestimate our reach and our influence, that continues to scare me every time you say that. And hopefully we've put out enough disclaimers of like, hey, don't fucking listen to us, man. But there's a weird way of like being authentic like that, where it comes back around, and that's who people want to follow and, you know, consume content from. So we appreciate that. And everything you continue to do, and the you know, your donation, continued donation to the kids through us and your support. So we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. No problem. That's 312. If things work out right, we might be hearing from J-Bo on 313, 313. Gonna have to open
that 313.
Gonna have to open up the
put your motherfucking hands up and follow me.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a good one for 313, and especially if Bohannon's the guest. And we'll talk to you then. Peace.